Amen, amen. You may be seated. Today is Wednesday, January 25th, 2012. It's hard to believe that January is almost over with already. Another week and it'll be in the record books. Oh, tonight's message came to me once again as I was studying. Yay. Praise God for his grace, his love and his mercy. The scriptures we are going to get the message from tonight is from 1 Peter 1:18, where the word tells us, knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. Amen. The message tonight is on being redeemed and what it means and what it's supposed to mean to us. Redeemed means brought back. The redeemer pays the appropriate price to reclaim something that has been previously owned but he has lost. Let me say that again. The redeemer pays the appropriate price to redeem something that has been previously owned but is lost. Who's our redeemer, Ethan? Thank you. Christ. Christ originally owned us. He came and paid the price for us once again by shedding his blood on the cross, therefore redeeming us. He bought us back. He bought us back from a world of sin, that we may draw closer to him once again and be where we rightfully deserve to be, where we are called to be. Mankind was once God's through creation. But through sin, we became lost. The blood of Christ is the price that purchases us and leads us back to God. It pays for our redemption. Being redeemed and seeking redemption for your sins draws us closer to God. It draws us back to that natural place where we are called to be. We step away from the Lord, whether out of choice or not by choice, free will or not free will. It happens right at birth because of sin of mankind, because of the sin that Adam and Eve did in the garden so many thousands of years ago. It's what happens to us automatically. Therefore, Christ had to pay for our sins in order that we could have redemption and be returned to God. We know what the word says, right? Nobody cometh through to the Father but by me. Okay? You have to believe in Christ, proclaim him as your Savior, and seek to be closer to him in order to be returned to the Father. And that redemption does not come but by him. It only comes by his blood shed on the cross. And that's what it's all about. That's what we're called to seek. If you have any kind of an inclination within you, you're going to seek that higher power at some point in your life. Younger people usually don't. My daughter said that to me many times. Mom, you didn't go to the Lord until you were older. Well, that's true. But you know what? I regret it. Amen. I wished I would have done it younger. I wish I wouldn't have not made as many mistakes as what I did. But you know what my dad says, wish in one hand and poop in another and see what fills up faster. We all have regrets in our lives. When we come to the cross and we surrender our life, our heart, and our soul to the Lord, he forgives us of our past. Thus the song we sang tonight. We're redeemed by that blood that was shed on the cross. It's a blessing. It's available for everybody, but not all will choose it. Right? When we accept the blood of Jesus as God's payment for our sin, God applies it to our debt and cancels it fully, stamps it paid in full. It's stamped, paid in full on the claim against us. And we're permitted to go and serve God freely. That's what the blood of Christ does. Washes us white as snow. Completely redeems us of all of our sins. Sounds almost impossible. Christ's blood is a worthy price because it is sinless, precious, and pure. And it provided free access to God. Completely free. All you have to do is want it. All you have to do is claim it. Not all do. Because as we know, God will not affect free will. He wants us to come to Him willingly. It's available for all of us, but you have to be willing to accept it. The Word tells us in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Being justified is a gift by His grace through the redemption which is in Jesus Christ, whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation in His blood through faith. This was to demonstrate the righteousness because of the forbearance of God He passed over the sins previously committed. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Being justified as a gift by His grace through the redemption which is in Jesus Christ. That's the only way it comes, people. Is by that blood. Revelation 12:11 says, "And they overcame Him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony, and they did not love their life even when faced with death." They overcame Him because of the blood of the Lamb. Aaron, who's your source of strength? Amen. Always remember that God paid a high price to get us back. He will continue to tug on our hearts to get us to accept His will in our life. All we have to do is surrender to it. Be willing to receive it and receive what He has to offer. Not an easy life. It's not a glamorous life. But is it this life that we're worried about? Is it this life that we're concerned about? Certainly not. I don't know about you, but all I care about is eternity. Somebody said to me the other day, "If God came back tonight, I wouldn't want to go." I'm like, "Really? Sign me up. Let's go, Lord. I'm ready." Yeah. But my next words to that person were, "But it's better for you that I remain here," just like Paul said. My life is a testimony, a witness to others. A lot has happened, a lot of deliverance, and that strengthens me. And all of that is by the grace of God, by His hand. But we have to be willing to accept these things. We have to understand that it's not this world that we're concerned with. You have a choice. A lot of people say you have no choice. But honestly, you have two. What's your choices, Ethan? Heaven or hell? Now, for those of us that have been redeemed and try to walk a close walk with the Lord, or hopefully walk as close as we can, for us, there is no choice. There's no option. For me to give up now, with all that I have been through, what would I gain? Am I going to throw it all back in God's face and say, "It ain't worth it, I'm done. I'm tired. I'm done running this race. I'm done fighting the battle"? That would be pretty foolish. Besides that, I'm way too stubborn for that anyway. I'm not, and quit. We all know quit's not in my vocabulary. Not just, what'd you say, Aaron? Yeah, that's a four-letter word that just is not in my being. It's just not who I am. But a lot of people do that. They get wore out. They get wore out. They pray and pray and pray, put things on the cross, take them back, put them there, take them back, put them there. We know how hard it is to leave it there and let God handle it. God's ways are not our ways. And a lot of times, he's slow. And a lot of times, he ain't talking. You know? It gets frustrating. But you have to persevere. That's what this is all about. It's a marathon, remember? It's not a sprint. It's a marathon. So we seek to be redeemed. And from that redemption, we are returned to Christ. We draw closer to him. We start learning his ways. We become more like him, which you all know. You're going to hear it probably. How many sermons we got? How many meetings we got this year, Aaron? 105? Well, you know you're going to hear it at least once. The goal for this year, for 2012, is to be better, is to do better. Do better for God. We know, as I just read in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But to try to do better and to strive to be more like Christ, to do what he calls us to do, is where our heart and our mind should be. We're not always going to do things perfectly. We are going to have the hardest time forgiving ourselves more than anybody else ever would. But it's because of that redemption, that promise is already there. Christ already paid the price for our sins. We claim it, and we can be washed in it and become white as snow. And know that we're written on the palms of his hands. And once we're there, he doesn't lose not a one. When the devil comes to accuse you and belittle you, remember the great price that God paid to redeem you, and consequently how much he loves you. We all know how hard the devil wants us to leave the Lord, and that's the greatest battle. He uses everything in the book against us. Every past sin that we've ever done makes us feel unworthy. Every little thing. He's good at what he does. He knows what buttons to push. But I don't know about you. I serve a higher power. Amen? And I know that that he who is within me is greater than he that is in this world. I serve a higher power. I know that God has redeemed me, and I've been bought with a price. And that's how much God loves me. Most famous scripture in verse in scripture. Sorry, Lord. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever shall believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That's how much God loves us. I don't know too many parents that would give their child up as a ransom for many to face what he faced. We've studied it. We know how death by crucifixion works, and we know how horrendous it is. He paid a big price. But Calvary stands boldly before humanity as a reminder of God's great compassion for every single human being that has ever lived. That's what Calvary represents. It's there, God's compassion for us. A lot of people will tell you that God turned his back on us, and that's why there's sin and suffering in the world. Well, really? Who's more apt to turn their back on God? Let me rephrase that. Who's more apt to turn their back? God on us or us on God? Right? More often than not, man will turn their back on God. The things that people go through that they don't understand, right? Check yourself. Check your relationship with the Lord. He's trying to get your attention. Are you not listening? What are you missing? He has a home planned for you in a mansion where there are streets of gold. But he doesn't force us. Ever. The Son of God, the Divine One, through whom the worlds were created, became flesh and died to atone for the sins of every single human being. That he willingly shed his blood and died for us reveals not only the greatness of God's love for us, but also the importance of salvation. Through salvation is redemption. They go hand in hand. Through Christ, believers are forgiven, counted to be righteous, and by new birth are renewed in the image of God. We are no longer the creatures we once were. When you come to the cross, proclaim Christ as your Savior, and accept him into your heart, you have to remember there's follow through. Sorry, I'm come from a baseball family. When you're at bat, you got to follow through. I don't know too many sports where you don't. Bowling, you have to follow through. Basketball, you have to follow through. Football, you have to follow through. Tennis, you have to follow through. Am I leaving anything out? Golf, you have to follow through. Okay? You can't just get to that point and stop. It doesn't work. What happens? You don't have a successful hit. Catch, pass, throw, whatever. Okay? You can't get to that point. It's like leaving your house without your pants on. Come on, people. You got to get completely dressed. Okay? You can't get halfway there. When you accept God into your heart, when you proclaim Christ as your Savior, you have to invite him in. You have to let him into every facet of your life and allow him to begin to change you. We all know our God. He's a gracious God. He does not force us. And he does things in our lives so gradually that we will accept it. We've already come that far. You've already realized you're a sinner and you are nothing without God. You got to follow through. You got to let him in your heart. And that's where a lot of people fall short. In other circles, in other churches, you will hear someone that has fallen away from the faith. They'll say, well, was he truly saved? Okay. When you're saved, you're saved. But in order to be saved, you have to be changed. You have to allow God into your heart. For some people, it's like instant. I know alcoholics. I know drug addicts that stood in the pew, accepted Christ as their Savior, and immediately were changed. I also know those that say the words, speak it with their lips, but they don't believe it in their heart. And there's still that doubt holding them back. That was my mom. I led her to the Lord. She proclaimed him as her Savior before she passed, but she still had that doubt. She never allowed Christ to completely take over her life. She never fully surrendered to him so that he would help her get past her sins. You all have heard me say before, Mom always used to say, pray harder. Well, any good Christian will tell you there's no such thing. A prayer is a prayer. If it's said from your heart directly unto the Lord, there's no such thing as pray harder. Sorry, Mom. But I used to tell her that too. She got there. She accepted it wholeheartedly. I mean, I was there. And I was very honored and very blessed to be able to lead her to the Lord. I mean, she had known Christ her whole life. But to actually get her to proclaim him as her Savior was different. But she never took that final step. She never had the follow through. She didn't let Christ in. It's the difference between knowing somebody and knowing about somebody. Right? We've had this discussion before. You got to let him in. Once you let him in and you're completely redeemed, Christ has bought you with that price that he paid for you. That's when your salvation is received. The only way you lose it is if you give it up. Walk away from the Lord. But even at that point, there's those that will argue that once, well, we have different theories. Once in grace, always in grace. That's the Baptists. Once your name is written in the book of life, it's there forever. Well, we've talked about that too, haven't we, Aaron? There is scripture that tells us we can be blotted out of the book of life. And I'm sorry, but I don't know about you guys, but the book that I read tells me that no man shall take away from or add to this book. We believe in the whole book. And I know that Christ came and paid a penalty for my sins. And there's nothing that I could ever do to repay him for that. It's by his grace, which is his gift to us. We're always going to feel unworthy. We're not going to feel up to par. Always going to feel unworthy. But Christ says we're worth it. No matter what man does to us, Christ says that we are worth it. God says that we are worth it. And I don't know about you, but I'm not going to argue with God. I'm not greater than he is. I'm only the tool that he uses. A lot of people would think of that as an insult. Be called the tool. I don't. All right. So understand what being redeemed means and understand what redemption is, because it's important. We're called to share the word as we know it with others and to continue to draw closer to the Lord, continue to do a better job for him, to meet and gather as we do twice a week, enjoying each other's company and enjoying the word that we're given. It's by his hand that all these things are done. I am very thankful for the redemption of my sins, because I know that there is nothing that I could have ever done on my own to be forgiven of all the things that I have done in my life. Amen. That's the word for tonight. Does anybody have anything to add or any questions? All right. If all hearts and minds are clear, then we can stand for dismissal.